It's an honor to be at Sunshine. I've been here several times with my family, and I think you guys are awesome. I really do. This is a wonderful church. The title of my sermon, if you care about that, is called Preparation. Just give you a little definition of what that means. It's the action or process of making ready or being made ready for use or consideration. Now, I want you to know that God is in the preparation business. He always is preparing each and every one of us for things that he has in the future. I believe that God has prepared me for such a moment as this. I believe that every time over 20 years or more of preaching, God has prepared me for that time. I told Pastor Aaron, I said, you know, it's interesting, all these years I've preached, every time I come up, I get nervous. And I'm nervous today. I don't preach as much as I used to. But that's good, because I was a pretty arrogant guy. And if I didn't become nervous and let God take over, then you'd be hearing, and you're going to hear some about her. That's the purpose. But all you'd be hearing is what I want you to hear. And I'm here to tell you what I have to say is irrelevant. What God has to say is going to change our lives. We've got to believe that before we start. Let me ask you a question before I read a scripture. What do you think is the one of, if not the most important thing that God gives us? Just speak out. Someone just say what you think. The Spirit of God. Amen. Someone else. I'm sorry? Okay. One more person. Grace. Amen. I'm here to tell you that the most important thing that God gives us is love. Because without love, there's no grace, there's no Jesus, there's no Holy Spirit. None of that, because God loves the world. In John 3:16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world." I wrote a different version here, so I have to forget what I memorized and read that. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is God incarnate. He came here because God sent him, because he loves you and I so much that we can't comprehend it. I think sometimes we take God's love, as well as sometimes our wives and our husbands' love, for granted. But we can't take God's love or our wives or husbands' love for granted, because God will not stop loving you no matter what you do, no matter where you came from, no matter of your past. God loves you. And if you can grab a hold of that love and understand it's not about you, it's about him. It's about his preparation for you to go about his business. Now, I remember the first time I came here, when you guys first opened up the church here. I've never been in the, unfortunately, never been in the old Sunshine. But there wasn't as many people here. It's grown. You know why? Because God loves you. That's why it's grown. He doesn't want you to be alone. He wants you to understand how much his love is. So I come from an interesting background. And I'd like to just take a few minutes, and I'll try to do it as quickly as I can. I've cut it in half already. But I want to talk to you about my testimony. That's what happened when he was preaching about Joseph. God said, share your testimony. Share your testimony. The whole time he's talking about him, God's going, share your testimony. So when it was over with, and I've known Aaron for quite a while, but he doesn't know me that well. He doesn't know whether I can even preach. And when I'm done, he may not still know, but but he doesn't know if I could even preach. But I came up to him here, and I said, I really need to share my testimony with this church. And he said, yeah. And obviously, I would say, like I would to anybody else, do you want me to send a copy of my message? What do you want me to do? And so anyway, here I am. He doesn't know what I'm going to say, but God does. So first of all, my early life. Why is this important? It's not important because it's about me. It's important about God's love and how he took all of the somewhat terrible and maybe terrible things that I've gone through and still called me, still loved me, still sent in my scripture, in my Bible, says, for God so loved Herb that he gave his only begotten son. You could do that too because he loves you so much that even though it was 2,000 years ago, he did it for you as he does it for me. My young child, I've always been a sickly person. You ask my wife. I'm dealing with cancer right now. But I've always been a sickly person. I've always had pneumonia probably 9 or 10 times. I had double pneumonia when I was born. I've had multiple broken, all kinds of problems as far as illness. My mom took care of me until about 12 years old. Then all of a sudden, my mom became mentally ill. And in her mental illness, she abused me in ways that I will not share. She beat me often for little things. The one I remember the most is I asked her if I could have some applesauce. Simple thing. She said, yes, you can have a teaspoon. I'm a 12-year-old kid. I got a tablespoon. When she saw that, she beat me because I disobeyed her. And I mean viciously. My father and my sister decided not to come home most of the time. So I was the one that had to stop her from committing suicide. I was the one that had to take the abuse and listen to her and all her ravings. One day I was up in my bedroom, which we had them up in the loft. Then I looked over and I looked down, and I saw my father abusing my sister. So here I am, 12, 13 years old, with that kind of a life, not knowing the love of God, not understanding that God's going to get me through that. I was drafted, by the way, I'm retired military too. I was drafted when I turned 19. Matter of fact, I turned 19 September 30th. I got my draft notice October 2nd. It took a long time. In those days, 1966, yes, I'm old, 1966, they didn't have numbers. They just, everybody was 19, they drafted. Right in the middle of the Tet Offensive, for those that remember that time, it was the hardest time of the war. I lost 4 of my best friends. My high school lost 25 of my senior class were killed in Vietnam. At the time, it was the largest number of deaths from a single high school in America at that time. I don't know whether it still is or not, but I went into the service. This is the beginning of preparation now. I had some already, but now God's starting to work on me. I didn't know it at the time. So here I am in the service. I went to supply school after I went through basic and got orders for Vietnam. In the middle of that time, I was at Fort Lee, Virginia, which is where they had the training for supply people. And there was a program going on called Log X. It's officers, that word is yours. It was where officers came together and they did training. Well, there was a two-star general that needed a driver. God's working. In the midst of all of that, my friends are getting ready to go to Vietnam. They pulled my orders, and I'm going, I want to go home, at least see my family before I go to Vietnam. No, you're going to go drive around with a general for a couple of weeks. Okay. He promoted me, which they could do in those days. You can't do that anymore. And I ended up in Landstuhl, Germany. God was preparing me. I met my first wife there. We got married there, had my son. Now remember, I had an abusive mother. I also married an abusive wife. Verbal and occasionally other things. But I wasn't the type of person to retaliate, so I just took it. And she and I started into drugs. First marijuana, heavy. And then I started taking uppers to get me up in the morning, downers to put me to sleep. And then I started taking LSD. LSD is a very dangerous drug. What it does is it affects your mind. That's why they developed it, for people that had mental illness, so that their mind, so they could control what they put into your mind, along with shock treatments. My mom had 17 of them. So I was very much into drugs, drinking. I drank until Jackie and I got married, definitely an alcoholic. I don't know if I could say I was a drug addict, but I guess 7 or 8 years of taking heavy drugs might make me that. But because of my drug abuse, had cirrhosis of the liver. I obviously still do. Never had a problem with it, but I still do. And I got out of the service, became a restaurant manager. Still doing drugs and all that. I'm going to speed up a little bit here. That was the preparation. God was preparing me. When I went back in the service, because I decided to go back in 1974, I was a bit of a coward because Vietnam was over, and I figured, I'll go back in so I don't have to go to Nam. So I went back in, still doing drugs, still doing all that stuff. They didn't take the urine tests as much as they used to, so I was able to get over that. My first wife and I divorced. I have a son, 55 now, from that marriage. And I married another woman, Pam, who wasn't abusive. But unfortunately, Joe, as I called her, my first wife, I found out I was working anywhere from 16 to 20 hours a day trying to raise a family. And I found out that she was a prostitute. And she was going around making money. I found $8,000 in her savings account. I haven't had good relationships with women. My second wife, well, I was at a tour duty. We went to Berlin. I was at a tour of duty in the United States. And she got pregnant by another man. It's been a little tough. You know, I had a tough time. While I was in Germany, there was a man named Mike. I wish I knew him now. Who kept bugging me about knowing Christ. He'd come up and talk to me. I couldn't get away from him. He and I ended up, I was in intelligence. That's an oxymoron in the army. But I was in intelligence. And he was in the same area. I couldn't get away from him. He was always talking to me about miracles, how he wanted a car and he prayed for it, but he didn't have any money, and someone in their church gave him a car, on and on. I called him a liar, because by this time I was an atheist. I was an atheist till I was 35 years old. I moved into a different apartment. Don't you know God moved them two doors down? I didn't know any of this at the time. All I know was that he was annoying. I threatened him a few times and came back to the United States, became an Army recruiter. Don't hate me for that. Became an Army recruiter. In the midst of all that, I had divorced Pam too. It was just too much for me to take. I was blessed because I met a wonderful woman by the name of Jackie. December 18th, we'll be married for 42 years. She was a Christian. I was an atheist. There's a combination for you. But God was in preparation. He was preparing me for a call. In the midst of all of that, her family kept inviting me to the house, loving on me. We were still going out at that time. Loving on me, caring for me. Knowing that I was an atheist, we went to a chapel. We had a military wedding, the swords and sabers, because she was in the service for 12 or 13 years. We went to a military chaplain to do the service. He never asked me. He was a Baptist, but he never asked me if I was saved or not. And it's a good thing, because I'd have said, no, you people are weak. You need God. I don't need God. I told you I was arrogant. But I tell Jackie that all the time. It's all right, honey, that you love Jesus. You need him. I don't. We got married December 18th. Long story short, already too late. I became saved on March 20th, 4 months later. God just started working in my life, started changing my heart. I had already stopped drugs, but I was still drinking at the time. In the midst of all of that, the Sunday on March 20th, I was sitting just like this, and the pastor gave an altar call. Well, I'm here to tell you that when you really surrender your life to Christ, you can't stop but coming up front. Because I thought if I didn't go up, that I would levitate and God would bring me up front. My wife came up with me. I accepted Christ. In the back, I hear this beautiful angelic voice. That was my father-in-law singing over me. It was a thrill. It was amazing. About a year and a half later, we got called into ministry. We were at a revival, and Jack and I both came up to the altar, and he called us both into ministry at the same time. And the youth pastor that we had been working with come by, we never said anything to anybody, come by and said, now you know what it'll be like to serve God. I mean, boom. God confirmed it. So, you know, I've been a pastor. I actually retired from the Army in 92, senior pastor from 92 to 2012. I've been retired since 2012. And all of that, God was preparing me for that time. He was preparing me for forgiveness. He was preparing me to know the truth. He was preparing me to understand his love. He loved me more than I can comprehend. And he still does today. He's healed me from several things. I'm expecting the cancer to be healed too. Because he's a loving God. I told you, Jackie, I wouldn't need my notes. I'm not a note person, I'm a preacher. I'm not preaching right now, I'm teaching. But the whole purpose of this is that I know that there are people, I believe even people here, that carry around baggage from the past. that you let what people said to you when you were young. I was young, I was bullied. I was thin. I was taken advantage of by a lot of friends, supposed friends. The only thing I had is I could run. I would have been a world-class runner if I hadn't discovered girls. But I could run. I could run. As a matter of fact, the last time I did a 100-yard, they do 100 meters now, when I did a 100-yard dash, I was 0.3 seconds from the world's record. I could move. That helped me because all these guys that picked on me, I got away from them, no problem. They didn't have, but all of that, everything, I've had broken legs, arms, ribs, all that stuff. Every bit of it is preparation. Understand that God takes your pain and he takes that pain and he uses it for his glory. If you need to be healed, God will take that healing and use it for his glory. That's how I know he's going to heal me of cancer. Because I am not done yet. And I'm going to keep going. But my question for you is, where are you in the midst of all this? What's going on in your life? You know, I shared John 3:16 earlier. As I was reading that, and I was still unsaved, I asked my wife, I said, would you give me a Bible I could read? I question what I believe. And she laughed, said, that's funny, you don't believe anything, you're an atheist. But I got to John 3:16, I said, wow, that's interesting. Then I went down, kept reading John, and I got to John 18:5. It said, of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, they had already asked him, Jesus asked, whom do you see? And this is after Judas had, I'm just going to preach it because it's not typed right. I don't type very well either. But basically what happened is they were getting ready to arrest Jesus. Judas came up and gave him a kiss. I saw a video that they gave him on his hand. I believe he gave it to him on his cheek. But came up and gave him a kiss. And Jesus said to him, go do what you have to do. And he said to the crowd, whom do you seek? Now listen to this. This is important. Whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. You know what happened to that group? They fell to the ground from the very power of him saying, I am he. They were knocked down to the ground. And I'm thinking, I'm reading this. And then later on, he says, now, whom do you seek? And this is Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, then let these people go, because I am he. And basically, he was saying that they are going, the scripture said that was given to him will not be taken away. So why is that important to me? Because God said, I love you, for God so loved the world. And then when he sent Jesus, the power of Jesus, knocked his enemies down. Now I'm going to tell you, he could have stopped it. Jesus could have said end, and the world would have ended. He was that powerful because he was God. In the midst of all that, those people went down in the power of just saying, I am. They went down. And I thought, wait a minute. Jesus said that he loves me. God said he loved me. And Jesus showed me his power. What a mighty God. It wasn't long after that I gave my heart to Christ, because I realized that the purpose of all of this, all of my life, everything, I'm 77 years old. I know I look about 90. No, I'm 77 years old. My entire life, God is preparing me for things. Preparation, my illnesses, my mother's abuse, my wife's abuse, all of that preparing me to meet a wonderful woman like Jackie and preparing me for her and her family to draw me to Christ. See, before I didn't marry who I was supposed to. It was preparation for her. So why is that so important to you? It's not. Other than the fact that I'm going to tell you who you are. Of course, one of my scriptures is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you notice it says through? A lot of people, they'll say something. I'll say that and they'll go, well, what can I do? I say, you can't do anything. It's through Christ that you're able to do things. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's you. It's talking about you. In 2 Peter 2:9, which I think you have up there, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Have you received God's mercy? Do you believe that? Do you live it? I'm going to share the vision. I had a vision of this church when I was preparing. You know, the whole saying is you got all this baggage behind you that you drag and you can't get ahead if thank you. You guessed that good. Oh, did he? You shouldn't have done that. I was just going to go, wow. But Jesus said, I forgot where I was. Now you blew my mind. I don't remember. That's all right. But that scripture talks about you. You are a holy nation. God called you. He called you into his marvelous light. It is you that they're talking about. It's you and everybody that you know. God has called them. And guess what you're supposed to do? Lead them. Use your testimony. Use the strength of God in your life. Use that to bring others to Christ, to fill this church to overflowing, to have chairs in the back, because God, my wife's going, sit down. Why am I going to? Oh, I was getting to that. Thank you. She was reminding me what I was saying. She used to do that when I did weddings because I forget to tell people, sit down. She'd be in the back going, you got a bad back or what? What's going on? Then finally I go, oh, yeah, I'm halfway through the ceremony. Oh, yeah, you can sit down. But we talk about we bring baggage. The baggage is what people have said to you. They said you're ugly. They said you're weak. They said that you're unlovable. They've said that you're all of these things. They've actually said curses over you. And we drag that along. And it's hard to get ahead when you're dragging that. Well, I was thinking about that and praying for you. And God showed me a vision. The only thing I've done modern today, God showed me a vision. And it wasn't garbage or dragging behind you. You all had on, what's it called? Backpacks, thank you. You all were carrying backpacks filled with this past stuff that people have told you. And you know what? It's hard. I don't know if you've ever filled a backpack, but they could do this to you. In the military, we carried 75 pounds, and we'd walk around like this for 20 miles. No wonder I have a bad back. Anyway, but in this vision, I saw the church stand up. All your baggage on you. Do you know everybody has baggage of some sort? And you walked up and you laid it at the altar and gave it to Jesus. and your lives were changed. We had a wonderful altar call here. In the midst of that, spiritually, I saw some of you, what you were laying down, you were picking up again as you were leaving and taking it back to your seat. God loves you. Don't put up with that. Don't let your doubts, don't let the things that you've done in the past, don't let the things that people have said about you, don't let any of that drive you away from God, because God has a purpose for each and every one of you. And until you learn to get rid of that baggage, like he said, you got to do something. You do. You got to choose to not believe those things that people said about you and choose to believe what God says about you. Because in that choosing, you will be free, y'all. You will be free from all your burden and sin. You will be free from all that. You know, so I've talked to people that said they were saved for 30 years, but they weren't living like they were saved for 30 years. They were what we call pew people. They come up, not pew, but anyway, you have an altar call. And they come up to the altar every Sunday, rededicate their lives to Christ every Sunday, then go back to their seats at the church is over with. They went, oh, I didn't really mean that, because I still had this and this and this and this I want to accomplish. And God's saying, you don't have to accomplish any of that. I'm the one that'll guide you. Stand with me, please. I was going to say, in conclusion, but y'all know that that's a lie. Pastors never conclude when they say they're going to. Am I right, Pastor? They just get warmed up. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Close your eyes for me. With your eyes closed, tell yourself what you see. Do you see a broken person? Do you see someone that's not worthy? Do you say, well, I understand that testimony worked for you, Pastor Herb, but you don't understand my problem. It doesn't matter what I understand. God already knows your problem. He already knows your past. He already knows your abuse and your pain. He already knows that, and he says, come to the altar. Come, altar workers, come up front, please. He already knows what you have need of. He's taken these wonderful people right here who have dedicated their lives to praying for you, and you get rid of all your baggage. I don't know if everybody's saved or not. I don't know y'all. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to leave here today unsaved. You don't have to leave here today with your baggage. You don't have to leave here today with your discouragement and your unforgiveness against your brothers or sisters. You don't have to leave here with that. You can come. Come to the altar is this old song, I believe. But you need to come to the altar. If you're not saved, my friends, or if you're not sure, your eyes are all closed, including the altar workers. If you're not saved, would you do me a favor? If you're not sure that any of this applies to you, don't be afraid. This is just you and me now. Raise your hand for me. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Put them down for right now. We've had several people raise their hands. It would be a shame to have them leave here that way. I want you to know the truth. I want you to feel the power of God in your lives. So if you raised your hand, be brave. Come up front. Don't hesitate. Step out of your chair. Step out. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter. Oh, I don't want them to know I'm not saved. It doesn't matter. What matters is that today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Step out. Don't hesitate. Come on. I know there was at least two. Don't hesitate. You have these guys are just standing here looking at you. They should be standing here praying for you. Don't hesitate. Come. Come. Give your life to the Lord. Tell Jesus you love him. And while that's going on, if there's anyone here that's ill, we've already done some of this, but if any of you here are ill, have a health problem of some sort, Jehovah Rapha is still the Lord God, our healer. He's still the God that heals. He wants to heal you. Come forward. Let them pray for you. Seek them. If you have arthritis, come forward. If you have a bad back, come forward. If you have problems with your vision or your hearing and you want to have that change, come forward. There's so many things that are here that we're not confessing to, that we're hesitating to do. So many things. You know, sometimes people come into church and they become proud because they belong to Sunshine Church. Hallelujah. I'm glad you do. But Sunshine Church has never saved anybody. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he uses your wonderful pastor to share that word. Come forward. This is not my vision. My vision that this altar would be full. So if I had a vision about that, guess who gave it to me? Not me. I don't know that. But God is working on some of you. And you're hesitant. You're ashamed. You don't think you're good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you that a drug addict, an alcoholic, and all of those terrible, I didn't tell you half of what terrible life I led. All those things, he still saved me. Same thing is true for you. I don't care if you still take drugs. Come forward. Jesus will take it from you. That's how I got rid of my alcohol. I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. They told me I had COPD. Anybody that's in the medical field knows that COPD is not curable. I'm healed because of Jesus. He healed my COPD. He set me free from that cough and that pain in my chest. If you have a pain in your chest, if you have something going on, come. Come to the altar.